She'll be talking about mulching practices for sustainable citrus production.
Okay, so I am going to be talking about research, but I'm also going to be talking about it in the context of collaborative research with growers. I'm a farm advisor in Northern California in the foothills where we grow citrus, and this is all grower-driven research. So a little bit about our citrus production. We grow citrus on slopes from 400 to 1,200 feet. Primarily we grow Satsuma mandarins, but some other specialty citrus, Meyer lemons, kumquats, beer slimes, other things. It's very high quality fruit, so it's very high priced fruit. Primarily it's grown on trifoliate rootstocks for the cold tolerance needed in the foothills. And I have about 80 small orchards in the county that I serve, and they're between 1 and 24 acres, so very small scale. We grow citrus on a very limited soil resource. Most of the soils are between 18 and 24 inches deep with low native fertility and low organic matter. We have very intense seasonal rainfall from October to March and not much of anything in between. So our summers are very hot and very dry with a very high water demand for the citrus. And part of this is the grower-driven part is their interest in the climate change. Our climate change, Northern California, manifests as dramatic temperature shifts. As in last June, there was a week where the high was in the 50s. 1 week later, the high was in the 100, above 100 degrees. So the trees are used to day-night temperature differentials, but they have a chance to recoup from that overnight when the temperature goes down. But these dramatic shifts are something that's very great concern to the growers, and I'll talk about the impact on the trees. So our citrus production practices in the foothills are very, very different than a lot of California. There is cover on every orchard, whether it's vegetative cover, natural cover, or cover crops. Here, this is native cover overseeded with white clover. Many of our growers use mulch either around the trees, as you see here, or along the trees' rows, and it's primarily manure or wood chips, because that's readily available, free, and can be delivered to the grower at no cost. We also have a lot of older trees. The trees in the study are between 22 and 68 years old, and those are the trees that produce the highest flavor quality fruit and thus the highest prices for the fruit. We do prune to open the canopies and reduce pests. We have very little pest management compared to a lot of California. We do natural enemy releases. We do have a number of growers with insectary hedgerows, but most growers will spray oil once or twice a year if they spray at all, and that's for scale primarily. So the Citrus Research Project is actually both pruning and mulching trials in 5 commercial orchards. I'm only going to talk about the mulch part for the most part. So these are 5 longtime growers. The question was initially, can mulch reduce herbicide, fertilizer, and or water use? The growers seem to think so, and we wanted to have data for that. But the secondary question came up after the first year. Can it moderate tree stress by moderating the temperature and moisture, by reducing that shock of those ups and downs in temperature? And they have become somewhat common now. So it's a randomized complete block design. I got to find the pointer. With sets of 3 trees. All right. I'm not getting the pointer here. Okay. So in the picture there, each of the colors is one of the treatments. There's 5, including the pruning treatments. And each of the sets where there's a box around them, that represents, there's three trees, the middle tree is the data tree, and the boxes represent data trees. So in the mulching part of this, there are just mulch and no mulch control treatments. It's 4 to 6 inches of mulch, 50% wood chips, 50% composted horse manure, and it's applied each spring. And this treatment, we worked out among the growers in consensus because they all do something a little bit differently, but they wanted to do this, and so this is what we came up with, is the mixture of mulch and the application time and how deep, because again, there's a lot of variation in what they do. So what we're collecting, we started out just collecting soil moisture, but after the first year started collecting soil temperature data as well, because that is related to what the growers wanted to know. We do soil organic matter, water holding capacity, microbial activity, nutrients. We take the temperature in the canopy as well as the relative humidity. In the last 2 weeks, the temperature has been above 105 in the canopy. So yes, we're dealing with a stressful climate for citrus. We also measure the mulch composition, microbial activity, tree growth, and nutrient status, as well as fruit yields and quality. Quality is measured on the size of the fruit, visual appeal, and also sugar acid ratio. So some of the results of the mulch trials are, we all know that citrus roots are shallow. 0 to 6, the moisture is depleted both under mulch and under control. In the mulch, however, 6 to 12 remains moist pretty much all the time until the next irrigation. The other thing that we've observed, don't know how to quantify it exactly, is the visible water stress in the upper leaves. So when there is water stress, the leaves curl vertically, and they remain that way for the life of the leaf, 2 or 3 years. And that is very, very visible in the controls, and there's very little of that in the mulch. Don't quite know how to quantify that. So we are now collecting soil temperature data as well as fruit drop and sunburn incidents, because that's what the growers are concerned about. How does the mulch impact the amount of fruit drop and the amount of sunburn? Both of those are related to water in the soil profile and temperature. We are seeing already, after 2 years, increased soil organic matter and microbial activity in the 0 to 6 range depth of soil, but it's not consistent across the orchards. So what I really want to talk about is the things that the growers are interested in, what we've learned. Number one, practices. So you apply mulch only to moist soil. If you apply it to dry soil, you have to heavily irrigate to fully saturate the mulch and get the water down into the profile. Secondly, here at the bottom, you can see two pictures. One of our orchards, the 65-year-old trees, are on Cleopatra. When Cleopatra roots are exposed to light, which this is on a hillside, so the soil had eroded off the roots, and when we pruned the trees, more light came through. That thicket on the left is Cleopatra rootstock sprouts, which were, that's not so dense. We had some that we couldn't get to the tree. So we cut them down, and what we did was we took 6 to 8 layers of newspaper or 1 or 2 layers of builder's paper, heavily saturated that with water so it conformed to the hillside, and then put the mulch on. And ta-da, no more root sprouts and no pernicious weeds. So weeds will often come through the mulch itself, but if you can block them out early on, both of the papers will decompose over time, but if you've got them blocked out, you're good for a while, because this is what it looks like 12 months later. There are no root sprouts, there are no weeds. So on this particular orchard, the slope is very steep, so the mulch is starting to rebuild. It controlled erosion this past late spring in heavy rains and is starting to rebuild the topsoil. Some of the other things that we've learned about soils and fertilizers is that many of the growers did analyze their soil and did from time to time get tissue analysis, but almost all of these growers had high or very high soil phosphorus, as well as high phosphorus in some of the tree tissues. And their standard grower practice has been to use 15-15-15 in the spring, split up applications, and some of them also use 6-24-24. So they've been applying phosphorus when they didn't really need to apply it. And so it's already sort of changed how they're fertilizing because they know. And having looked back over 17 years that I've been farm advisor at a lot of the soil analyses I've received, there's a lot of folks that have really high phosphorus across a range of crops. So that was something that right away growers started to change what they were doing because of that information and understanding that everybody had a similar problem. This is irrigation is the biggest impact of this research so far, and so it sort of sent it off in a different direction. Turns out pruning is a very critical factor in water placement. In the dense canopies of unpruned trees, where there are still overhead sprinklers, we still have some orchards that have overhead sprinklers, the canopy impedes penetration. The water underneath the tree, the soil underneath the tree is dry. We don't know yet whether water is running down the trunk because we don't have any sensors close enough to the trunk. But most of the water is out in the row middles where it's competing with the vegetation. And that may increase tree stress. So that's something that people didn't know. We also found out that skirting the trees, so cutting up from the bottom, so you have 2 to 3 feet from the soil, for those using either impacts or micro sprinklers, the water doesn't get through a canopy. Mandarins are drooping. They close it off. And so our next step, we've just started in the last 2 weeks putting sensors every foot or so from the trunk out beyond the drip line to see where the water actually is. And that's something that the growers are obviously very interested in because we live in California and water is expensive and not always available. So this is more about kind of working with growers and letting them dictate where the research goes. And we have 5 collaborators listed there. They have a total of more than 150 years of citrus production experience. So they're knowledgeable, they want to learn, and they talk to people. So we had an irrigation workshop, had 3 people decide they were going to change from overhead sprinklers to fan jets because of what we learned about the overhead irrigation. My colleagues also, Bob Bonk, research manager, Louise Ferguson, most of you know, Amelia Laca just started working with us on the statistics, and Hannah Ramey, our ag program person. And we've had funding from the CDFA Specialty Crop Block Grant Program. And thank you.
Time for 1 question?
I have a question.
Yes.
Yes, I was wondering, you mentioned that the manure was composted.
Yes.
But the wood chips, were they green in terms of,
can you repeat the question in the microphone?
Yes. Yes. So he wanted to know, I mentioned that the horse manure was composted. The wood chips, were they green? No, typically they've already been stored for a period of time, so they're dry, primarily carbon.
So they wouldn't necessarily take up a lot of nitrogen themselves. They've been composted.
No, but you know, the interface between the mulch and the soil is so narrow, it's not really taking, it's a few layers of bacteria. It's not going to take much nitrogen from the soil anyway. It's going to take it from the manure initially. And so, yeah, that isn't really an issue because we're not incorporating the mulch into the soil. We're just putting it on top.